Welcome to the official catch-up low and league edition. We've got Mozza and we've got Chris, and it's also myself, Ben, in the hot seat. Mozza, how you doing?
I am good, mate. How's you? I'm good, you?
Very, very warm in this room, but apart from that, all good. Chris, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's actually cold in my house, actually, so I'm opposite to you, Ben.
I says this room's really, really small, man, and it just seems to contain the heat, and I've got, like, computers and monitors and all sorts of things going, so all that electricity just creates mere warmth. Good stuff.
Warmth is a beautiful word, by the way. Just putting that out there.
It's like I don't know, is that a Scottish word, is it? Do you think? Warmth?
Warmth, aye, I would say so.
I don't even know if it's a word, but like...
I don't know if it's... I was going to say I'm pure warm, but I don't know. Anyway, just a shout out to our sponsors, The Soccer Shop Direct. Follow them on Twitter at The Soccer Shop D. Or check them out on their website on www.thesoccershopdirect.com for all your teamwear and football equipment needs. All right, it's now a week in the Lowland League, and we'll start off, actually, rather than the Lowland League, we'll start with the Soccer Shop Direct Challenge Cup. It was the Spartans were at home to Canoe. It was a 4-0 win for Spartans. Chris, you'd obviously been there. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. A pretty routine victory for Spartans, I would say. The stream went really well, which was great. I think that was our first sort of smooth sailing one. We had a few viewers. I'm really enjoying getting down to Spartans. I think with the streams... I think full credit has to go to Cameron. He does most of the work. He does most of the talking as well. So it started really well for Spartans. They were 1-0 up in the fourth minute. It was a really decent ball in to Sam Jones, who drilled it low into the net. And there was a lot of chances for Spartans. The Canoe keeper was certainly keeping them in it. Canoe did get a corner, and it came out with Blair Atkinson making a fantastic run, really, from like pretty much his own area straight up to the park, and he doubled Spartans' lead. Just before half-time, really fantastic solo effort from Blair Atkinson. Moving into the second half, it was pretty much all Spartans. Blair Atkinson again, a never-give-up attitude, sort of got the ball in the box, took it away from the defender, made it 3-0, and on the 80th minute, it was a goal from Archie Meekinson. Finally, his patience paid off, and it's a well-deserved goal for Archie. Yeah, you could sort of sense it from Archie. He's been playing really well the last few games. He's on loan from Dundee United, but I was really chuffed for him to get that goal. But yeah, as I said, quite a routine win for Spartans, but certainly signs there for Canoe that they have a decent team. Going into this game, they hadn't conceded in the league. They won both their games. So, but I think the two steps up in tier might have been a wee bit too much for them.
Yeah, obviously you've got to think a Lowland League team should be putting away a team like Canoe. So good result for you guys, and good to see, fair to say.
Yeah, happy for Blair Atkinson. I think he's got that in him. There was no like Cammy Dawson, who's the usual target man, but there's a lot of, I think what we credit Dougie Samuel for is the fact that he can switch things up, and I think he done so. He added a wee bit more experience to the team that played against Stirling Uni, and I'm really impressed. Like I said, especially Archie Meekinson, I think he's done really well since being on the side.
I managed to catch some of the stream. It was quite a good game, and a lot of attacking football from Spartans. It was good to watch.
Yeah, it was a good quality stream, Chris, got to say. And we need to give a shout out to quite a few teams today that I think these teams have to get taking a right step up in quality around the league, so fair play to everyone that's doing it.
I blame you, Mozza. try to be better than Mozza. That's my goal.
I'm feeling like I can't even win now because I've got to try and find new stuff.
I need to give a wee shout out to the guys that were doing Broxbourne Athletic stream because one of the boys had a bit of a trouble saying the soccer shop. So I can feel his pain there.
He listens to this podcast too much then, obviously.
Must have done by. He had a bit of trouble on the... on Saturday, but an excellent win for them against Cree Town as well at the end of the day. So
there was a bit of the Sean Connery's creeping in, was it? I think it was Graham that was trying to say it for Brox.
The other game from a Lowland League side was Bonnyrigg Rose versus Newton Green Star. It was a 2-0 win for Bonnyrigg Rose.
Yeah, I'll take you through it. So basically Robbie made six changes, Robbie Horn, to the Rose side that managed to get the better of Gretna last weekend in the league, which meant there was first starts of the season for like some Mikey Andrews, Dean Hoskins, Ross Gray, Jamie Docherty and Jordan Smith. And Dean Brett also came back following an injury that he got on the opening day as well. So Rose will be delighted to get Dino back in the team. Cagey Start, which is a derby game. Rose, Nitton Star, bear in mind. But like, I actually saw there was a stat came up. It's the 261st meeting between the two clubs, which is some stat. first bit of genuine quality came in the 12th minute when Rose took the lead from Smith. After that, Scott got a corner for the left that Starfield to clear properly. And when the ball fell to Smith, the young striker made no mistake, rifled it right into the top left corner for his second goal in as many games. Second half was, again, the same story. Few chances, kind of a nervy towsy affair. Former Starman Hunter was the man that scored the second goal, but it was actually flagged for offside. And then Star trying to find an equaliser, Rose managed to kill the game off in the 82nd minute. Expertly placed Bob Wilson header from a Lee Curry free kick, and that was Wilson's first goal for the club as well. The other thing I note for Rose is that Danny Stevenson, 18-year-old, made his first appearance for the first team in the 89th minute. So that's yet another graduate coming through the under-20s. And I noticed Rose had mentioned the likes of Laidlaw came through as well. I think that's now four under-20 graduates in the last year have came through that development programme. So again, shout out to Rose for that, because that's fantastic to see that there's a pathway for the young players to get a chance and make it in the first team. And hopefully Danny can go on to make some more appearances this year.
Bye. Three of them are on loan at Vale Leven. Or Vela Rose, as we'll probably have to call them soon. But yeah, no, it's great, especially for one of the top teams to have a pathway. I know it's not always a thing with the top teams now. They don't seem to, they've sort of closed shop. They've kind of went into community clubs at the younger level. So yeah, it's brilliant for Bonnie Rigg Rose. I think it was a typical sort of derby game. I don't think there was a lot of chances in it, but you know, it's good that it's good for Rose that they sort of got through that. And we have to obviously shout out Sean McGill for his excellent match report. You can find that on the Bonnie Rigg socials and on their website. Fantastically detailed and well written, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, with Bonnie Rigg winning the match, they go on to play Renfrew in the second round of the Cup as well. So it'll be an East versus West match there. Should be a good tie.
Yeah, nothing too exciting for Spartans. They've got an away trip to East Stirlingshire, which is always quite nice. Two Lowland League teams, two competitive rivals, I guess. So,
looking ahead now to the Lowland League itself, the first match we'll cover is Bet Rangers versus East Kilbride. It was a 1-0 win for East Kilbride, and a team that continued to keep an unbeaten record in the league.
Yeah, I saw some of the highlights of this, and I read some of the sort of match reports, if you will. Certainly for me, I think EK looked better first half, but there wasn't a lot of like clear-cut chances. Second half, Berwick really came into the game. 55 minutes gone, a superb flick on from Callum Smith finds the run of Dan Purves, only for his effort to bounce back agonisingly off the post. It was probably the best chance of the game up until then. 70th minute, it was two yellow cards for both sides as Craig Reid and Chris Erskine are involved in an off-the-ball tangle. It was actually missed by the camera. So I don't really know what really happened, but yeah, certainly something happened off the ball. 2 minutes later, Craig Reid was sent off for quite a really bad tackle, probably still agitated with what happened 2 minutes previously. So Berwick were down to 10 men. As it were, East Kilbride took the lead on the 83rd minute. Paul Payton finds himself completely unmarked in the centre. He flicks on to Chris Erskine, who fires a volley past a helpless Dougie Horn. I think the feeling was if Craig Reid doesn't get sent off, it could have been a point or even better for Berwick Rangers. As I say, I think they were the better team in the second half, certainly. There's positives for Berwick Rangers, I think. Two goals conceded in four games, both in the last 5 minutes, once against East Kilbride and the other one against Spartans. But I think they just have to start taking their chances and they'll have a good season. Shout out to Sean Winter. He came on the sort of last few minutes of this game. First game in 8 months for Sean Winter, obviously a big fan of Sean at East Kilbride. And East Kilbride march on, a potentially tricky one for them, but they go home with the 3 points.
All right, looking at the next match, it's another team with a 100% record. It's Bowness versus Caledonian Braves. It's a 2-0 win for Bowness.
Yeah, so not much to tell you about this one, but I'll run through what we've got. It was Craig Comrie that broke the deadlock for Tabletop and Bowness. Apparently there was a hint of handball, but referee was pretty happy with it, so the goal stood. And there was a second goal, which was a Ryan Stevenson penalty. So the BUs, again, really impressive start for them, dispatching another side that we know are more than capable squad-wise in Cali Braves. Braves actually had a goal disallowed in this one because of offside as well. And it was another bit of a controversial shout. Davey Winters apparently interfering with play. It wasn't actually his shot, it was Jack Smith's shot. So the implication was Davey Winters was in the way the keeper impacted it that way. But Braves certainly felt hard done by. And if that goal goes in, it could be a different result we're talking about here. But I think we've got to give credit to Bowness and the start they've made, because they're where they are in merit.
Yeah, I agree completely. And in fairness to the Craig Comrie chance for Bowness, I know Cali Braves posted out on Twitter and slowed it down to like 25% or something like that. It took me about 3 times to realise it went off his hand. So I think the referee had no chance of seeing that was a handball. So for the disallowed goal, I think it was a wee bit, you know, someone showed a picture. I think it was David Fleming, the Cali Braves fan. It was a picture of where Davey Winters was with the Bowness defender. I actually think it wasn't offside. I think he gave it for him running in front of the keeper, basically. But the way I saw it was that Jack Smith had already hit the ball by then, so I think they were a wee bit unlucky there. But Cali Braves, again, very frustrating side. I heard Ricky Waddle talk last week against Berwick, and he's obviously a wee bit frustrated of his team. We know how good they are, but they are very, very... I mean, I'm a Spurs fan, and I find them very frustrating to in terms of the results and stuff, because we know they're a good team, but they honestly need to take on board what Ricky's saying and do a wee bit better, I think, in terms of the results.
Yeah, well, this has maybe been a wee bit of a stop-start for them, and we've not been able to get going the way that maybe we would have expected. I think there was a lot of build-up with Cali Braves, with the documentary being on the TV, about a kind of feel-good kind of factor around there as well. So hopefully they can pick up results. But as you say, Bowness are looking excellent. Looking like challengers, you've got to think now, looking at the form they've had so far, they're certainly going to be right up there for the majority of the season.
Yeah, I agree with Bowness being up there. But Cali Braves, it's been a non-starter. They've not had a great opening, to be honest. And it was one of the things Ricky talked about in the interview last week, Ben, that they do have pretty much the best everything, you know, the new facility, Alliance Park, you know, quality media and all this. But if the results aren't happening on the park, or the players aren't putting in the performance, you know, it's all for nothing. You have to really care about the club if you're wanting it to move forward. And I'm not saying, you know, it's not a criticism of the players. It's just, you know, I think Ricky and probably even us, as I mentioned, probably expect them to do a wee bit better.
I think that's fair enough. The other note on Bowness, just before we move on, is Ian Nimmo's announced his retirement. I spotted as well. A guy's been there and done that with the likes of Kelty and so on previously as well. So shout out to him, and hopefully enjoys his retirement and no getting muddy and no getting a shower on a Saturday.
Yeah, Ian, I always rated Ian when he was at Kelty. I saw a wee bit of him before he went back to Bowness, but very skillful player. I think he was a wee bit unfortunate with injuries and whatnot, but yeah, wish him all the best on retirement.
Okay, looking ahead to the next match, it was Cumbernauld Colts versus Edinburgh University. It was a 3-0 win for Cumbernauld Colts.
Dominant first half display for the Colts. It was 28 minutes in when it was determined play from Billy Mortimer to open the scoring. And just before half time, it was a great header from Scott Davidson from a corner to put the Colts 2-0 going into half time. I believe Edinburgh Uni were the better side in the second half, like admitted by the Colts. But Johnny Greer's save was an important point in the game, and it kind of sort of derailed Uni's momentum a bit. And Stephen O'Neill, the captain, free kick with 3 minutes to go, secured the win 3-0. I was kind of having a wee bit of a laugh with James Orr, actually, during the week there, saying the pressure's off a wee bit, Colts, with that win. But it's good to see them winning, obviously, especially at Broadwood, kind of what we expected them to sort of kickstart their season. But a wee bit worrying for Edinburgh Uni, but I think there's positives there that Colts admitted that they Uni were probably the better side in the second half, I would say.
Yeah, I think the concerns are still there for Uni, aren't they? Especially with the way they've started the season. But we'll see if that kicks Colts on. They've got a tough midweek game. We'll get to the games coming up, obviously, later on. But you need to grab the wins for somewhere, and that's 3 points on the board at the end of the day. So they'll be delighted to get started, and we'll see what goes for here.
Next match on the official list was Gretna 2008 versus Mozza's Mob. I'm going to say that every week now, Mozza. BSC Glasgow, a 3-0 win for you guys.
As long as Mob is meant affectionately, I'll accept that. So, it was, in the end, quite a routine win for BSC, which has not been the case this season up to this point. 3-0 away at Radio, and we brought the game live again, and I actually had the balance there because we had Jonathan Needham, who obviously listens to the podcast and contributes quite a bit as well, so shout out to him for giving us a hand. But it meant we could get his views as we went as well, make sure I wasn't being too biased. So hopefully this report kind of reflects that. To be honest, the opening 10 minutes, I thought was great and control. BSC just didn't really settle very quickly. But there was a penalty in the 12th minute given, which changed things instantly. I thought it was a bit soft. If anyone's seen the highlights, I don't know, it was a kind of combination of a shoulder barge and a push. And the referee's seen the push in action and he's given the penalty. I could have easily been waved away and not too many complaints about it, but ultimately Ross Lyon took his chance. It was a 1-0 after Tierney was a man that was brought down. Second came, almost came a few minutes later when Lewis McGrattan almost scored a peach of an own goal. It was a whip ball in for the right for Daz Christie. I'm not really sure what McGrattan was thinking, to be honest. It more bounced off his shin and absolutely cracked the post. And that was basically tails up for BSC. 26th minute, doubled the advantage. New keeper Davy Wilson, who had a cracking goal, game in goals on loan for Clyde, played a ball right over the top, managed to confuse the defenders. They kind of got in each other's way. Ryan Tierney kept fighting for it and managed to steal in and nick the ball and put it under the keeper. But yeah, criminal defending for Gretna's point of view. But it was one of those days with kind of dodgy weather and heavy pitch, and he took full advantage when he got the chance. Half time, Tierney get taken off just after half time because he'd taken quite a heavy head knee knock against Ross Lyon, against his own player, which brought Jamie Hamilton into the fray. And basically, he got right involved with play. 56th minute was the clincher. Ross Lyon made a terrific run after a great through ball from Dan Christie, came straight for a Gretna free kick that they had a great chance for, but it was cleared away and Hamilton won it back. Lyon controlled, beat his man and slotted home easily into the back of the net. And 20 minutes left, kind of final chance of the game. Jamie Hamilton played off Dan Christie, bit of 1-2, tremendous shot, smacked off the post. So there's a few instances of the woodwork getting at it. Could have been 4 or 5, in all honesty. But yeah, that was kind of the story of the game. Gretna, as impressive as he looked at times, didn't really fashion any proper chances, I would say. They had one really decent clear-cut chance that was brilliantly saved just before half-time. Danny Smales managed to get in behind. It was a result of a Fitzpatrick mistake for BSC. Let the ball roll under his foot. 1-1 with the keeper. Wilson made an unbelievable save, which, again, I'd encourage you to go and see the highlights if you haven't. Probably the best save I've seen for a long, long time going back now. But if that had gone in a different game, but as it was relatively comfortable for BSC.
I was going to say, Mozza, I did catch a wee bit of the game. Did you say BSC have a new keeper?
Actually, noticed that. I did, yeah. So we had Lyle Afsey in goals the first few games. Ex-Arran and Athletic, he wasn't in the squad this week. And I believe Davy Olsen just joined us the day before, officially, on a Friday. So I'll be honest, I turned up not knowing he was there. So that was interesting. But no, he had a wee bit of a wobbly start. But as soon as he made that save, that was him. He was settled, he was assured, he was meeting crosses. And he was very, very impressive.
I was going to say, I must have not been watching that closely then, I missed that. But the only other question I have is, when is the penalty to BSC graphic getting made?
It is in progress, I believe, right now. But to be fair, like, as myself and Jonathan were saying, we did feel it was a wee bit soft. I don't know what the referee was looking for, to be honest. It was almost like the ref was looking for the excuse to give it, if that makes sense. It wasn't like Tierney didn't appeal for it. So like they came together, he went down and he didn't kind of turn and look at the ref, put hands in the air, and it was just given straight away. So it was a strange one.
Got to be happy with, I think, the last game.
Aye.
Shipping 4 against Vale, even clean sheet this week. Must be pretty sure for that.
That's what the gaffer was most happy with when we spoke after the game. Obviously, good performance all round, but Jamie McCormack was just a rock in defence. He was brilliant, back to his best. And given that he's not a centre-back, he's a right-back by trade, just totally settled everything. It was winning every ball that came his way. Kind of played sweeper more than a centre-back at times as well, but that was a big difference for me. And everyone just kind of took from there and gained in confidence as the game went on.
Probably why he missed out on the team of the launch, to be honest, Jamie McCormack, because he does play right back, so I had to switch it to a back three. But he's always class, Jamie McCormack. I think he was in our both our team of the seasons, wasn't he, Derek?
Yeah, And obviously we had an interesting go between myself and Dean Brett about who was a better right back in the league. So expect more of that if Jamie keeps his form up.
Brilliant. One person that's going to make a team of the year already, I think, Darren Christie. Looks absolutely phenomenal, doesn't he?
Aye. I think my big worry before this season was how BSE would replace that attacking trio. And Ross Lyon in one wing and Daz Christie in the other wing. Controversial opinion, it might be better this year. Don't think we've got a goal scorer in the same mould as Tam Orr was, just a out-and-out finisher. Tierney's not that kind of striker, he's more a kind of deep line forward that links up. Alfie Aguimang's just whatever he wants to be in any given day. He's a bit of a better maverick. But aye, those two in the wings, I would struggle to put anyone above them in the whole league. They've been outstanding so far.
I'll make sure Thomas Collins knows that before he comes and joins your stream for the Colts game.
Don't worry, I've told him. So I can't wait. He's going to run the rule over Daz, he tells me, so we'll see what he says.
You know me, I'm a big fan. I watched the game on Saturday. I was happened to be sitting about like 5 minutes away from the Inverdrill Stadium on Saturday in Sochi in a hotel and in the lounge with the laptop on watching you and Jonathan do your stuff, and it was a good game. I really enjoyed it, but it was good to see you guys get a clean sheet. And I think there was a few chances for getting it, but I just felt your defence, especially than the right wing, I felt they were getting a lot of breaks in the right, but the fullback seemed to cover it really well.
Yeah, Gretna's big threat. The boy on loan for Morton was Rogers. Was it Sean Rogers? His name is. But he's Tam McManus look like. Apart from he plays a bit better than Tam did. No offence meant to him, but he's a cracking wee player on the right wing, and if they keep him fit, he'll be a talisman for them.
I think he's good mates with Wayne Wathers, plays left wing, used to play for Greenock Morton, so keeping tabs of him, sounds like a player. Right, looking ahead to the next kit fixture, it was Galloway Rovers versus Civil Service Strollers, and it was a 3-1 victory for Gala.
Yeah, I bailed on the BSE game actually for this game when I noticed that they were streaming, just because I knew you guys probably had BSE covered.
I'm loyal, Mozza.
It's been noted.
I watched. I saw the sort of last few minutes of the sort of first half, and I watched the second half. But yeah, Galloway Rovers won 3-1 against Civil Service Strollers. Captain Danny Galbraith came close for Gala. As his lob comes back off the bar, and it really sort of lit up in the second half. Ross Aitchison headed Gala into a deserved lead against Strollers 1-0. Almost immediately after, Civil Service Strollers came down basically from kickoff. They were awarded a penalty. Connor Young immediately responds for Strollers from the penalty spot to make it 1-1. And a wonder strike from Scott Taylor McKenzie gave Gala the lead back. I've asked around for this, so hopefully they've kept footage, because it was an absolute stunning strike. And Ross Aitchison scored his brace to secure the win for Gala with Stappen to make it 3-1. I was actually, I think when we talked about this game last week, I was actually expecting maybe Civil to get something from this, but second half, I thought Gala were really, really good. They seemed to like, apart from maybe when they conceded the penalty just after they had scored, I don't know. I didn't think Civil offered that much, to be honest. Maybe I've been a bit too harsh, but I thought Gala looked a wee bit more hungry for it. I think Civil looked kind of disjointed in parts. I know they've got the majority of the same guys there, but there is a lot of new guys, so I don't know if it's maybe just time to gel and whatnot. But yeah, I think it was well deserved from Gala, from what I saw.
It's an interesting result, isn't it? Because with Gala much over the last few weeks or so, that was the result that kind of opened my kind of eyes when I was looking through them. So fair play to Gala. It sounds like they thoroughly deserved it. They've dominated the game in large spells. I wouldn't be too worried with Civil just now, but they're not scoring many goals, are they?
No.
On the whole, their only point this season has been a 0-0 draw with ourselves in a midweek game that could have gone either way, but both sides were kind of more struggling to create clear-cut chances in that one. So from what I've seen of Civil, I've only seen the 190 minutes. They weren't really creating too much, and it sounds like more of the same there. So Gary might have a few concerns going forward. But we know how accomplished he is as a gaffer. No doubt they'll get moving eventually.
Yeah, I think it's similar with Berwick, to be honest. You know, Berwick aren't scoring a lot, and and it's the same with Civil, they're not conceding a lot either, I don't think. So I think it's two teams there that just you expect them to be in the sort of higher end, I would say, this season. But I think they need time to gel before we can really see what they're up against. Obviously, Berwick lost just marginally to EK, and Civil grew with BSC, so they have, you know, they can take on the top teams, but I think they just need time to get things right on the final third, I would say.
All right, next match was Kilty Hearts versus the Wheaties Stars, a 2-0 win for Kilty at New Central Park.
I'll take this one. So, started pretty quick for Kilty in this one. 5 minutes on the clock. Grant Anderson slotted away his first goal for the club. And it basically kind of got better from there for the hosts. 21 minutes on the timer with a chip over the keeper from Stevenson after a good play from Easton and Higginbotham doubled Kilty's lead. You kind of thought at that point it could have been any score, but it kind of calmed down after that. Higginbotham did get it looked like he'd got a third from a powerful Tidzer shot getting deflected, and it came to his way, but he was offside when he stuck the ball in the back of the net. And Dalbeattie, to their credit, fought away till the final whistle. Couldn't really create many clear-cut chances of their own, but 2-0 as a scoreline, given that they were 2-0 down after 21 minutes, I think you've got to give credit to Star. And I did say after the first week of the season that they did look much improved, other than a wee kind of spell against us where they conceded two goals pretty quick and got a wee bit wobbly. But I think that's a sign of progress for them, that they never give Kilty an easy game as it is. But with the talent Kilty's got, and you look at Austin, Higginbotham, Easton, all these kind of players, they've done pretty well to get away with there without taking more damage, I would suggest.
I think you're right. I think full credit to the Dalbeattie Star. You'd probably expect a Kilty win, especially at New Central Park, but I think they are missing Nathan Austin. I think he's been injured the last few games, so he'll be a big miss, but you expect the talent they've got there to sort of get them through games anyway. But they have had a few close calls, I think, especially in the last few weeks, so you know, Barry will want Nathan Austin back as soon as possible.
Because of I've recently subscribed to a lot of YouTube channels for the clubs in the lower league and downwards. I've managed to see the Kilty highlights a few times, and it's excellent. He looks like, no disrespect to Kilty, but he should be playing there. He should be playing at a much higher level. He looks excellent.
I totally agree with you. I think he's a League One / Championship level player. He's just been different class whenever I've seen the clips of him so far this year, and you could say that for a few Kilty players. In fairness, Easton was banging him in at League One level when he was with Clyde and Forfar. Aye, so the squad they've got, they've surely got to win the league to be considered a successful season this year, you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to fancy them, surely, I think, as well. But if you look at Bowness look like they're going to be great and certainly push them far. BSC again also look like pretty strong, getting the goals and things. So I think there'll be plenty of teams to give to give Kilty some competition. I think it'll be good to see when the likes of Kilty play, like a Bowness or a BSC or a Bonnyrigg, for example, to see how they get on. So definitely we'll keep an eye out for those matches.
Yeah, and East Kilbride as well, because they've gone a similar route to Kilty. They've kind of spent the money and brought in the players that they'd probably be fine at League 2 level, to be honest, the two of them. So it'll be interesting to see as the kind of season wears on, if either side begin to fall off a bit, what the squads are made of and how they react. Especially, as you say, with the other teams that are right there as well, just pushing and pushing. So it's set up for the best year yet, I think, for the Lowlands.
The signings that they've made, both East Kilbride and Kilty, have been immense, obviously. But at the end of the day, only one team can win the league and potentially get promoted. So it's going to be a disappointing season for one of them, you know, if not both. I mean, you mentioned, obviously, Bowness doing really well. Bonnyrigg are still there. East Stirlingshire haven't conceded any. So there's definitely a threat for these teams. More so this season than last, I would say.
Yeah, it's getting ever more competitive, isn't it? And even then, when the Highland eventually gets going, you've still got Lysa Brora there as well. So none guaranteed.
I think the third thing as well about these teams is that they bring in these guys that are obviously are way above the level, but they look like they're playing as a team. That's the thing I think I've seen from the likes of Kilty and Scorpite. They both look like, you always worry about kind of superstar mentality in some sides, but it certainly looks like Kilty have gelled well with the new guys that have come in. They look like they'll really kick on.
Probably one for our future podcast, but I wonder how it's going to work, the playoffs this season, because if the Highland League's, say, a month behind, or even maybe as much as 6 weeks behind, not including postponements, will they still be playing a league season when the playoffs come round?
Yeah, well, they're only going to play a half season, weren't they, for what they announced. So regardless, the dates and the rules that the league must be completed by. So if they don't meet that, there will not be a Highland Lowland League playoff.
So 18th of May, isn't it? I think it is.
Yeah, so it's stated in the rules that if you're not done by that date, then your champion club doesn't get in it, okay. Basically. Although if your club has already won the championship, I think they can hold a couple of games off. I'm sure that happened 1 year, possibly with East Kilbride, can't remember. But I mean, we'll deal with that when we come to it, because the SPFL yet again are trying to work on contingencies, and I'm not going to keep saying it every week, but there's a certain club that keep losing in League 2 as well, so we'll move on swiftly.
Ends with a B, does it?
love it. All right, the next game on the card was a team we've been very positive about this season. University of Stirling beat Vale even 4-1.
Yeah, they've got to be my new sort of favourites for the league title, obviously, you know what I mean? Smashing it. Yeah, they won 4-1 at Forth Bank Stadium. 3 minutes it took them. A ball to the Vale keeper is short, and Jamie Penker, the man that keeps scoring at the moment, joint top scorer, I think, with Ross Lyon at BSC, on it, and he slots home in the third minute. I noticed Stirling Uni have sort of took the moniker of which was obviously Nathan Austin's, you know, Feed the Fash. It's now Feed the Penker. So I love that from Stirling Uni. 26 minutes gone. It was, I believe, Robbie McGill. They did correct to the second scorer, so I'm hoping that he done all of this. He seems to strike the ball off the Vale hand on the edge of the box. He doesn't hang around, though. Goes past the player and slots it home. Great by Robbie there. Second half, 54th minute. The ball moves upfield quickly. Eventually, the ball falls to Jamie Pinker again in the box, and again, he slots it home. Feed the Pinker. A minute later, Vale scored. They go forward from the restart, bit of a slip up at the back, and the ball is fired past Ben Fry, and they sealed it. Stirling Uni on the 86th minute. It was Ewan Baird with a quality finish. Brilliant win from Stirling Uni. All we can really do is give full credit to Chris Geddes. I've been really impressed with them. I've been lucky enough to see them a couple of times quite early in the season. Really high energy. I think they're going to shock a few this season. And just a wee note, obviously, I did put out on Twitter today, or the catch-up Twitter, that they were 10th for 22 consecutive games last season. They've not been anywhere near 10th so far to begin with, so I think it's a big relief for the likes of Chris and Mark Adams and Gary at Stirling Uni. I think they're doing fantastically well, full credit. Wouldn't be too concerned really about Vale. Stirling Uni are in really good form. I think Vale have a better team. I think we said that last week as well, Derek.
The concern for Vale is that's 10 goals they've conceded in 2 games. I'd say we know they're capable going forward now, especially with Edin Grotlin and Laidlaw up top. But I wouldn't be too worried if I was Ando about this one, because it's just, you know, Stirling are just firing all cylinders now, aren't they? It's long may it continue, because Chris is one of the good guys of this league, and I'm delighted for him that things are clicking into place so far. So, well, I'm actually really looking forward to seeing them myself. Not had a chance to catch them yet properly, but they're very, very impressive purely on the results, just as we're getting started off here.
I think that's the difference, going back to Vale, that's the difference for me this season. Vale look like they are capable of scoring goals too, and it was few and far between last season. I think they were record for the lowest amount of goals scored for the season. I know there would have been a few more games you know, after that, but them and Edinburgh Uni really struggled last season to score goals. Vale have showed that they can do it this season, so shore up the defence maybe, score goals, and I think they'll be in a better place this season.
All right, looking ahead now to the Soccer Shop Direct Challenge Cup. It was the first round. There was a few West teams also involved. We mentioned already Spartans and Bonnyrigg, but in the West, we had Maybole versus Vale of Leven, and it was a 3-2 victory for Vale of Leven. It must be a nightmare to get them right. Imagine they're playing each other. Vale Leven versus Vale Leven. I'd be absolutely murder. Their games, Irvine Victoria versus St Anthony's, it was a 3-each draw, and I think the way the format goes, it was a straight to penalty kicks. So St Anthony's went through on penalty kicks. Fairly Clyde beat East Cobh by Thistle 4-1 and East House's Lily beat Lark Hall Thistle 5-3. There was two games called off. It was Thornton Hibs versus Rutherglen, and my game, Socky versus Cohen Rangers, was off in the morning. Muggins here had booked a nice nice spa, shall we say, and just 2 minutes in the road from Socky, and couldn't cancel it, so I had to go through and just chill out for the weekend rather than getting a game. Our match has been rescheduled to the 4th of November, which is a Wednesday night under the floodlights, because obviously Socky have got floodlights, but the Rutherglen game is the weekend of the second round, so they'll be playing catch up in the round, whoever wins between Thornton Hibs and Rutherglen. So I was very disappointed from my side of things. I certainly was looking forward to my first competitive game this season to be called off about 10 o'clock because of a waterlogged pitch, which I was hopeful that would be on. But
no, I was just going to say, I feel really sorry for all the West fans that were looking forward to seeing their teams in competitive action, or at least getting a result through for competitive action, just to get the first game of the season rained off. It's horrendous, isn't it? But that's what happens when you start a season, but we're now towards the end of October, so it is what it is, and obviously there's going to be games called off if the weather keeps going the way it is. It'll be interesting to see as the competition progresses and we see more kind of mixing in between Lowland, West and East. I'm really looking forward, from a bias point of view, to hopefully getting a West draw for BSE, getting a wee away trip or two, maybe. We'll see what happens, but I'd say I just wanted to show my sympathies, I guess.
We'll probably have a wee bit more coverage on the West of Scotland, but yeah, like you said, Mozza, sadly a few of the games were postponed, so it kind of ruined opening weekend. But for the teams that did play, obviously I did spy a few results, like Darvel, obviously they switched the fixture with Rob Royce, so yeah, it's good for them to actually play, even though a wee bit disappointing for other teams.
Yeah, obviously you had the first round of the first fixture list of the West region premiership in the conferences. So yeah, it was good for some of the teams to get started. As you mentioned there, Darvel, it was a 3-0 victory for Darvel over Rob Roy, and it was good of them to actually switch the match. I think that was a concern for the match was off at Rob Roy, and Rob Roy had a few issues with pitch and stuff like that last season, but opted to make the switch through to play Darvel, was a 3-0 win, looked pretty convincing, but a result you expect. Elsewhere in the West Premiership, Trun beat Bonnington 3-0, so shout out to Trun, my favourites, you know, so it was a good win for Trun. Nothing else really standing out. Clydebank beat Largs 1-0, Beath drew with Rossvale, and Cumbernauld United beat Benburb 3-1, but nothing too dramatic in the first day, but very good to get the games going. And I think that's been something that's been debated quite a bit, obviously, the start of the West season. But I think the thing about it is there's something to try and fight for in terms of getting fans back in and shibbles and changing rooms and all that kind of stuff. So at least we've got something to talk about. And it's good just to have the matches and seeing the results. I mean, obviously, my game is off on Saturday. It was just good to just check the results and see who was winning and who was playing and all that kind of stuff, and just follow the game again, because I mean, it's great having the SPFL and stuff, but for me now, it's all about the low leagues of Scottish football now. So, yeah, great to have it back. But looking forward to the weekend ahead. Hopefully, we'll get our first competitive match in our debut in the West of Scotland. The senior ranks, I guess. And we're still awaiting our debut in the senior ranks. So yeah, that's the West.
No Christian Nadi for Trun. Did you mention that?
Yeah, nothing. I don't know what that's about. If he's injured or what, but. Ryan Stevenson played. Shout out to Ryan Stevenson. Seemed to have a good game by all accounts as well. So good for them. I think Bonnington are probably quite a young side. So it was still a convincing victory for Trun. So yeah, I mean, I'm here to bash Trun, but we'll give them the praise for getting the result for sure.
Can't wait for Ben to get his t-shirt with Ryan Stevenson's mugshot on it. It's going to be great.
I'm just worried in case we play them and he's like, "You that guy off the catch up that slags me off all the time." That'll be fine. Because, I mean, I'm not one to make enemies in social media very often, but certainly there's probably a few people in the West that may be like, "You're that guy." I'll be hyped.
What are the origins of that beef, by the way? You've came into the catch-up with a wee bit of a slight against the guy, eh?
To put it bluntly, I'm a Kilmarnock fan and he played for Ayr, and he's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
As he rose through the ranks, he played for Ayr, so It's purely that. It's nothing to do with his ability as a player. It's just the fact he was. I'm not going to say it because it's a PG-friendly show, but he's an A player, an ex-A player, put it that way. So that's why. But it's all in good fun, to be honest. I just find it funny he's playing at this level. I think he's probably too good again for that kind of level of football, and should be playing further up the ranks. But fair play him. I think he's a local boy as well, so that'll be why he's there. But yeah, I'll be keeping a close eye. Don't you worry, Ryan, if you're listening. All right, looking ahead to the fixtures, it's midweek fixtures we've got this week. We'll start with Berwick Rangers versus Edinburgh Uni in the Lone League.
Home win for me. Until Uni prove that they've got kind of something about them to get something here. Berwick's had a decent start to the season. If they don't win that, I'd suggest they'll be really disappointed. So, yeah, go with the home team.
They need to start scoring goals from open play, Berwick, and this is probably a good opportunity to do that. I'd probably say a weaker Edinburgh Uni team. I sort of looked at their squad list. They've lost a lot of the sort of senior players. There's been a few moves, like Luke Murray to Broxburn, guys like that. I think Stuart McFarlane's away to Bowness that I noticed. So they have lost a few of the senior boys at Edinburgh Uni. But Berwick, they need to win. They need to start scoring goals. They can't just depend on Jordan Sinclair hitting banger free kicks in, unfortunately.
Next game is Cali Braves versus Dalbeattie Start. I think I'm going to go for a draw here, personally.
I was going to say, I fancy a draw here. Dalbeattie, I still think, are a better team than they were last year. Cali Braves haven't they done enough yet. Score draw, maybe 1-1, something like that, but it wouldn't surprise me if either team managed to squeeze a win. I just can't pick between them.
Last season was, what was it, 5-5 last season at Alliance
so
Park?
So it was. I forgot that game.
Again, what I said earlier about Berwick and Cali, the same lines, they have to start scoring. They have to, you know, I don't think it's a similar, I wouldn't sort of rate Dalbeattie similar to Edinburgh Uni. I think, as you said, Dalbeattie have got a better squad, but I don't know. I think Cali need to start getting points on the board and wins on the board, especially at home. But we saw last season Dalbeattie almost beat them if it wasn't for the madness of the 5-5 game. But I think Dalbeattie will go up quite confident that they could get a result there. But Cali Braves, for me, they need to get a win. If they didn't get a win here, then I don't know. It's way too early to call anything, but you can't keep dropping points and expect to be in the sort of top half of the league this season, I would say.
Yeah, you'll play catch-up, isn't it, if you start dropping the points just now. So certainly be a bit concerning for Cali. Next one, Gala Fielding Rovers versus the Spartans. Chris, this will be one of your games. What do you think?
Really impressed with Gala against Civil Service Strollers. Really impressed with Spartans lately. I think it's going to be a close game, actually. Gala will be sort of, you know, they'll be on the up from the win at the weekend. Spartans are really, I know they were against Canoe, obviously, but I think they've been really impressive. I'd give the edge just on Spartans.
I can't call this one. I've gone back and forth on it. I might just give a slight edge to Gala compared to Chris, just purely because they're in Netherdale in a midweek home game. But it's a really tough one to call. Two very, very even sides, I think.
I'm going to get a martyring go draw then. Next game on the card is Kelty versus Vale Leithen. It's at New Central Park. Got to think Kelty won this handsomely.
Yeah, home win for me.
Can't argue with that, yeah. Vale need to sort that defence out and quickly, because Kelty will be capable of scoring plenty.
And just a wee note, if Nathan Austin is out, he used to love scoring. I think he scored a hat-trick in every game against Vale Leithen. So if Kelly are missing him, then it might be a bit of a boost for Vale Leithen there. But if Fash is back, then I would expect a lot of goals for Kelly in that one, I think.
Sorry, I'm waiting for the Calum Higginbottom Panenka penalty, so hopefully we'll get that soon. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I've talked about it quite a bit, but I remember it well for Kilmallock. It was a glorious penalty. Anyway, looking ahead, it's Bowness teams that have been flying so far, playing at home to Civil Service Strollers. What do you think, Mozza?
Home win for me. Civil just aren't scoring enough, creating enough. Bowness are buoyed by cracking form, just hitting the back of the net regularly as well. I can't see past them in this one, to be honest.
Yeah, same for me. I've not seen a lot of civil service strollers, but what I did see and what I've heard, obviously, they're, again, the same as you, Derek, they're not creating enough. They're not doing enough in terms of scoring opportunities. So, yeah, home win, bonus.
Next one, BSE versus Cumberland Colts at the Indodrill. Mazza, fancy yourselves here?
I do fancy us. I wouldn't be overly confident about us, though, because Colts have got a very decent squad there, I think, and have maybe not played to the potential they've got as yet, I would say, this season. Now that we've started kind of gelling a wee bit, I feel like this is a game we must win. The manager wants to put us in the title race. If we don't win this kind of game, we're not going to win the title. Simple as that. So it's a must-win game from my point of view, and I think we will win it.
I think you're being a wee bit harsh, Derek. I think because Cumbernauld Colts, they seem to pick up results against the sort of the bigger sides, if you will. I don't think it's all lost if they do get sang. But on that note, they are obviously a wee bit buoyed by the win at the weekend. But I still reckon BSE should win that one, especially at home.
The reason I say it's must win is I just can't see, when you've got so many sides like East Kilbride and Kelty and that going for it, I can't see all of them dropping points regularly. So if BSE want to be in the reckoning, this is the kind of game they just can't afford not to win, is the way I'm looking at it. I've already dropped points to Civil already. So
I guess the thing is, all these teams are going to be playing each other and potentially dropping points at other opportunities against each other. So it might be quite tight because of that, because you might not... might find that one team is going to be different on any given day, so there's no guarantees that the form will always win the day. So next game is East Stirlingshire versus East Kilbride. This is obviously two teams that have started really well. This could be quite a tough match.
East Stirlingshire for me. From what I saw, I know it was only the highlights against Berwick, but East Kilbride didn't really create loads. East Stirlingshire have not conceded any in their first three games. They've been really, really solid defensively. They have a sort of knack of losing these games, either 1-0 or 2-1. But I really do fancy Shire at home against East Kilbride. I think East Kilbride, similar to, in fairness to maybe Kelty as well, they've kind of been sort of get scraping by is what they do in terms of the results. I think, hopefully I'm not being too harsh there, but that's just the way I see it. They've not been as great as we know they can be. And Shire, I think, possibly could surprise a few people this season.
I'm going the opposite way. Because the last time East Kilbride won this league, what did they do every single week? They won by a single goal, it felt like. And the last couple of wins I've had, they've scored in the last 10 minutes. They're keeping going to the very death. They're doing what they need to do. There's a lot of new boys in that squad that are getting to know each other, but they're still getting the results on the board. I still fancy Kilby to win that by the odd goal.
I fancy Skilbride. I think they look strong, but I think Skilbride will just edge it. Final game on the card is University of Stirling versus Bonnyrigg Rose. We've talked a lot about University of Stirling already. Bonnyrigg also doing really well. Tough game to call here.
A coin you want to toss in this one, heads or tails?
Jamie Pinker masterclass, I think. No, it's tough. Obviously, Bonnyrigg are a top side. They, from what, going by the report that Sean wrote, I don't think they played that great. I know they had a lot of changes and stuff, but I don't think they've done a lot against Newton Grange Star. So I'm not going to say Stirling Uni are going to win, but I think they have every opportunity to get a point here.
I was going to go for a draw in this one because I genuinely think either side could win it. I don't know. It's too tight for me to call this one, I think. I can't see either side running away, but put it that way, it'll be a narrow win either way or a draw, but I'll sit on the fence and I'll say a draw.
I was going to say, one thing that we also have to consider is the midweek games, when they start racking up, teams like Stirling Uni are used to playing twice a week. So Stirling Uni are going to be well up for these sort of games, and this is why I think they're going to shock a few this season. I'm, good form aside in the opening sort of few games, but they're used to playing two games a week, and other teams might not necessarily at this sort of this sort of rate. So yeah, Stirling Uni could be a dangerous one this season.
Are the Buck games off just now?
Yeah, they don't start. They potentially might start into the new year. From what I've heard, they might be doing a wee bit of a friendly sort of tournament. It doesn't mean anything in terms of leagues, but they're going to maybe do a little sort of friendly tourney, the sort of second half. So up until, from now until then, Stirling Uni and in fairness, Edinburgh Uni, kind of a clean slate at the moment.
I was going to say, do you think that's got something to do with the fact that Stirling have started so well this year? Purely because there's not so many games straight away and they've just had the Lowland?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it's just that they're a younger squad. I don't think it's not... I think going further into the season, maybe if they're still doing well, that could probably play a factor. But, I mean, how many games... They've played 50-plus games over the last sort of two, three seasons. So they're a team that are used to playing this amount of games, whereas maybe even an East Kilbride or a Kelly or a Bonnyrigg, you know, discluding cups and Scottish Cup runs and all that sort of stuff, but they won't be used to quite intense what Stirling Uni are. I mean, you're talking Wednesday, Saturday every week for the Uni boys, you know what I mean? So it's interesting. It's one to keep an eye out for.
I'm actually going to go for University of Stirling to win this game. I think from what I've seen from them so far, look pretty good. Bonnyrigg, obviously a good side as well, but I think there'll be an edge. Close game, but an edge for University of Stirling. Well, that concludes the fixtures for the midweek. Obviously, we got a few at the weekend as well, but we'll wrap up the podcast there. We'll come at the plugs as always. We'll come at you, Chris, first this time.
I think this is like the first time I've ever been first. I was a bit surprised at that. You can find me at Rampant FM on Twitter. I'll let you guys do the plugs for the catch-up.
So it's at Official Catch-Up on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook. I believe it's still Lowland League Catch-Up on Facebook. We're on Instagram, official.catchup, if I remember rightly. And as for myself, you'll find me at MozaPlays on Twitter, and that gets you wherever else I'm, or you can find me through Twitter, basically. And over to Ben.
Get me on Twitter, it's at Mr. Ben Grant. In terms of live streaming, who's all streaming? Are we all streaming this weekend? Moza, are you home Saturday?
Yeah, I'll have the game on Wednesday night, 7:30 for our 7:45 kickoff, with Thomas Collins, as we've said earlier, jumping in. I might try and get Ross Smith in as well, but don't know if I can trust the two of them running a show at half time, so we'll see. And then I'll be live on Saturday for a home game as well, with Berwick Rangers.
Chris, what about you?
No, Spartans are not back at home until the 10th of November. So,
oh, really? Right, okay.
So I've got I'll be watching the streams like everyone else until then. But yeah, I'm probably going to be watching the BSC game. I'll be seeing a lot of BSC, I guess, over the next few weeks, Derek.
More the merrier.
But you could watch Colwyn as well, remember, at the same time.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I can watch a few of the West of Scotland teams that stream, and of course the East of Scotland teams as well. So, yeah, hopefully see a lot of football.
By the way, just before we get into the final bit, if anyone does know of any other Scottish teams that might be streaming on Twitch, let us know, because we were obviously going to do the joint stream with ourselves and Colwyn and with Ben. I think we can get up to 4. In one stream.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So if there's any other teams that are doing it via Twitch, we can maybe even get a wee kind of a multi-stream of 4 Scottish games, lower league, which would be a good thing to do as well.
Chris could do one. He could do it from his house and be like Jeff Stelling the boys. Get rid of the scores. I'm half joking, but that might be actually quite funny to watch.
By the way, just on that note, actually, I saw what was it yesterday? I think the wrestler or something was on yesterday, and instead of doing like the pre-show, they done a watch along thing. Oh, I hate them, man. They're so cringe. It's like you're watching people watch the pay-per-view or the football or whatever. I'm not.
Also, like Gogglebox style.
It's weird. It's very weird. But I suppose it would be quite funny if we could get some, you know, me watching Derek and Thomas Collins on Wednesday on the catch-up YouTube or something. That'll be.
I was just pretending our match camera isn't working, so you can just stare at me and Tom Collins the whole game, right?
I'm not a massive fan, and personally, I don't find that sort of thing really interesting, because why? If an event's on, surely you would just want to watch the event rather than someone talking about it, but we'll wait and see. It could be an idea, me and Ben or something, when we're both off just talking about Mozart.
Watching BSE.
I mean, I was half joking there, but the more I think about it, it's not a bad idea. It may be like, it's something different. You could be pulling in all the different games in the West, the East, the Lowland League, and discussing the results as and when people update it on Twitter and whatever. But
Well, somebody will jump in it now. We've talked about it.
That's it. Somebody will steal the idea of put it on YouTube or something. But anyway, that's all we've got time for this week on the official catch up. We've got all the plugs here, so you can catch up with everything that's going on. I'm sure we'll have more content in the week ahead. Bye for now.